Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come
aboard. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour, Gabe Kiremi is going to join us. Former Outland Trophy winner as the best offensive lineman in the nation, former unanimous All-American at Wisconsin, former first-round draft pick in the NFL of the Chicago Bears. Gabe Kiremi is going to join us to talk about the NFL postseason championship game weekend coming up here in approximately 20 minutes from now. Next hour, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network on the coaching hires, fires, and championship weekend as well. We've been talking about Mike Fiers and the idea that he is a rat or a hero. In fact, our poll question today is, push comes to shove, would you be a rat? Mraz says we've all got rat tendencies, every single one of us. Can we play for our listeners the D-Aliens, the Phil Garner audio? Because we led with this off the top, and it's probably a good time to reset it because we've been talking about this all morning long. Phil Garner, who had a lifetime in baseball, former Astros manager, joined Sports Radio 610 earlier in the week. And when asked about Mike Fiers, who was the whistleblower on all of this, he called him a rat. And to me, that is right there symptomatic of why something like this can happen in baseball. The clubhouse, the dugout. This is sacred territory to where you cannot, will not go against your teammate. And in some ways, that's admirable. But in other ways, it creates these cultures of dysfunction. And if Mike Fiers doesn't openly say, yeah, I'll put my name on it and I'll tell you what was going on and the people involved, we never get to the point where A.J. Hinch, Jeff Luhnow, and Alex Cora don't have jobs.
I think he'd be viewed as a rat, okay? If it was a big deal for you, why didn't you bring it up while you were in the Astros? Why didn't you step up and stop it? You're going to wait until you go another team? You're going to enjoy the fruits of the if there's any success being had by cheating, you're enjoying that while you're the Astros. Then when you go away, I don't like that anymore. So to me, that's not a very good standard. And I think most baseball players will look at it that way.
And that's the problem. Now, look, would it have been even more admirable if Mike Fiers stood up and said, I'm not going to be part of this. I'm out of here. I'm telling everybody what you guys are doing unless you change it. Sure, there would be more on the line for him. But he has now already created a reputation around baseball where I'm sure it's going to be really hard for him to have a job after his current contract with the A's runs out. And again, that's the code of silence that leads to widespread cheating and nobody doing anything about it. It leads to Alex Cora feeling so empowered that he can take cheating in Houston, bring it to Boston, and keep cheating. Because he feels like, well, nobody's going to break the code of silence. I mean, of course, if you thought there was something to be lost there, like there were Major League Baseball investigators in the clubhouse, if you thought that every player would be open to discussing openly with MLB what was happening, if you thought there'd be anybody that would tell on you, you wouldn't be so bold and brazen. But he didn't. None of them thought anybody would tell. And that's how that happens. So Phil Garner, who has had a lifetime in baseball, you know, applaud that. The guy's nickname is Scrap Iron. So what do you think he's going to say about somebody that tells the coda of the clubhouse? But ultimately, without Mike Fiers, none of this happens. It keeps going. And let's also say this, Mraz, what happens if the Astros would have won the World Series this past year? A couple of months ago, they were in Game 7 at home against the Nationals. They won the World Series 3 years ago, and they nearly won it again. Well, 2 years ago. They nearly won it again this year. How much stickier would this be if they were two-time World Series champions and just months removed from it?
I am so glad you brought this up. I honestly believe that if they were 2 months removed and all of this was happening right now, I do think then you would come into play with the do you actually strip them of World Series titles and vacate. I think if they got a second one, and because it's the most recent now and this had all come up, I think now you would actually not laugh at the notion, do these titles need to be vacated? I think that might actually happen, and Major League Baseball would literally rip that from the record book and have a non-champion for those 2 years.
See, I don't know if baseball would ever go that far. I don't know. I mean,
but when you're coming so fresh off.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't have your reigning champ be caught in a cheating scandal. That cannot happen.
It is wild. I mean, baseball tidied this up for consumption, for mass consumption. We can't go after all of the players because right now all the players, they're all over the place. Some are on the Astros, some are elsewhere, some have retired. So we're just going to hit the Astros with the manager and the GM. Okay, it's going to be clean and neat and tidy. It'll just be them, not the players. We won't vacate the title. They get fined. We look like we have a heavy hand, and that's it. We wash our hands of this going into spring training, pitchers and catchers a month from now. But if they were the World Series champions 3 months ago, I think this would have a totally different context. Because then it would feel like, well, how much of the Astros' success is because of the cheating? And are they the ultimate black eye for the sport? And who let them keep getting away with this? And if Alex Cora left and they were still doing it and they're still winning, I mean, could you imagine if the Golden State Warriors suddenly found out were cheating and they were in the middle of that dynasty run? People would freak out. Again, Mike Fiers breaking the code of silence is the reason this finally got out there. And this is a guy with two no-hitters. And yet, maybe the most important thing he does is say, yeah, this is what they were doing, and I'll put my name to it. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico, 855-212-4227. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Steve is next up in California, listening on radio.com. Good morning, Steve.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Just weighing in on the situation. I wanted to bring up that it's actually the year of the rat, so maybe we might have more of these cases. And if you get caught cheating, you know, it doesn't matter if it's rat fault or not. You got to look in the mirror.
Okay, I didn't know this. So this is the Chinese year of the rat?
Yes, sir.
And when does the Chinese New Year start? Because it's not January 1st, right? Stumped you on that, didn't I, Steve? Can we check when the Chinese New Year starts? Because this usually happens, and the Golden State Warriors have those Chinese New Year jerseys.
Saturday, January 25th.
Okay, so are we in the Year of the Rat yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think the year of the rat, I would assume, would be 2020, so my guess would be no.
Okay, so we're almost in the year of the rat, 10 days away. We'll have to check on that. Because it would be very appropriate if we were already in the year of the rat. But is being a rat a bad thing?
No, it starts January 25th to February 11th. You know, that's interesting because next year's New Year doesn't happen until February 11th, so they don't go 12 months in that Chinese calendar. They go a little more. I think it's a 12-and-a-half-month calendar.
And then the backside would be an 11-and-a-half-month calendar, perhaps.
Well, why would they do that?
I don't know, but you can't have kind of a moving new year.
I think they do. I think the rules are out the window.
Is that right?
I think it's out the window.
That's what we're guessing here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so the year of the rat begins January 25th.
Right. So you know what? That should be everybody's New Year's resolution. Rat somebody out.
Okay, that's...
Beginning January 25th to February 11th, you have 1 year, well, 13 months, to rat somebody out on something. Hey, you watch how quickly these streets get cleaned up. The year of the rat, that should bring some notice to everybody.
The locker room leader.
The street, yeah, right. Yeah, locker room leader. Speaking of locker room leading, Odell Beckham on Monday night, national championship game, after LSU ends up winning the national championship, he is seen on the field giving bills of money, slapping Tigers players, high five, low five, with wads of cash, with money. Now, this obviously would be an NCAA violation, and yet Odell Beckham is proudly doing this in the middle of a media scrum. This is on the field after the game with cameras and microphones and reporters all down there right in the middle of it. So would he be as bold as to be giving out wads of cash, big time money, to college players in the middle of all of the cameramen? LSU says no, that was fake money, fake dollar bills. Okay, so let's take LSU at its word. Odell's an idiot. Okay, a total idiot here. Only because it's an obvious violation to your program if you do it. And so drawing attention to said act, even if it is fake money, is idiotic. You can celebrate with those guys all you want. Those guys think you're really cool. They think you're really accomplished. They think it's awesome that you're there partying with them. So good on you, good on them. That's fine. But Odell knows the rules. And what is giving them fake dollar bills really mean? Is he then matching that with real dollar bills behind the scenes? Why draw attention by showing outwardly this wad of cash and giving it to players? You wouldn't do that on an NFL field. I mean, imagine after the AFC Championship game, Odell Beckham is down there slapping Sammy Watkins with money. You'd be like, what is he doing? Let alone in college where you know that's a sensitive subject. Is that to show up the NCAA? Look, I've got no love lost for the powers that be in the NCAA and taking advantage of players' likenesses and all of that. But Odell's an idiot because this is about Odell. This is a clear thing that is going to draw the attention and the ire of the NCAA on your program. Number two, I don't know if you saw Odell celebrate the entire night. He definitely looked wasted. He was posing for every picture, every video, celebrating with fans. He definitely looked either stoned or wasted. So this is just Odell acting the fool, thinking that he can do whatever he wants in the middle of the celebration. And again, I'm sure some of it is cool for the players because it's Odell. He's a superstar. Another part of this is Odell just feeling like he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and he's just partying because it's about Odell.
Yeah, actually, in one of the videos, there's cops that come into the LSU locker room taking away alcohol from underage players, and Odell's in the back, like, taunting them. But probably the biggest crime that I think happens with Odell here is not handing out the money. It's the fact that this guy goes to every fashion show under the sun, fashion show and fashion week in New York, fashion week in Paris, and yet he's still carrying around a fanny pack. I don't care how many fashion shows you go to.
That's supposedly cool now.
No, it's not. It is not cool. I don't care.
You're the paragon of fashion?
Look, I get it. All right? I walk around with Giancarlo Stanton jerseys most of my life. To find me in a blazer, I don't even know what that means. That's not going to happen. Yeah. I am not out here preaching like my jeans aren't from Old Navy. All I am telling you is this.
Uh-huh.
Fanny packs were out in 96. They are not back in. And I don't care if it's Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Peyton Manning, you name the athlete. I don't care if Mila Kunis is walking around with a fanny pack. Fanny packs are so out, and it's so ridiculous.
If Mila Kunis is walking around with a fanny pack, you wouldn't automatically assume, oh, I guess it's fashionable?
No, no, no. You can't just call something fashionable because some company that pumps out all this money wants to recreate it. Like, Calvin Klein wants to recreate a fanny pack. That doesn't make it fashion. That's you listening to the upper fashion fabric gods telling you something.
No.
It's a fanny pack. We all put a wallet in our pocket, our phone in the other. You move on. What other stuff are you carrying around in this fanny pack? What more do you need? Your credit cards, your cash, anything you need is in your wallet. Anything you other need is on your phone with all the apps and the Venmos and the zip ties and whatever else you're using that you chase quick pay. A fanny pack? What more do you need in there?
I think, Odell.
A sweat rag?
I do think it was a Louis Vuitton
That's
fanny
the point.
Pack.
Who cares if Louis Vuitton or Louis Button is making the fanny pack? It's a fanny pack. It's ridiculous. Stop it. It's embarrassing. And it's embarrassing that people buy into this nonsense. Yeah, you know what? Odell Beckham walked around the fanny pack. So now what's next? Your Uncle Edgar is going to get a fanny pack and wear it with his white Nikes, high white socks, and grill and say, well, the fanny packs are back in. This is what leads to bad fashion advice. Stop it. That's his biggest crime. He can hand out all the money he wants. Don't take it out of the fanny pack.
I love the idea that you would be shopping at Louis Button.
No, there's these...
The knockoff Louis Vuitton.
No, there's two.
Louis Button.
No, there's two. There's Louis Vuitton and there's the one with the red bottom on the heels. I think that's Louis Button.
I don't think Louis Button is anything.
No, there's something. It's a Louis... Because I always get them confused and I'm told, no, it's two. It's Louis Vuitton and it's a Louis Button.
Okay, I'll double check your fashion advice there.
The red heels or the red bottoms of the shoes.
Now... You really feel like Odell's biggest transgression here is the fanny pack,
yes.
Not actually handing fake cash to college players in the middle of a media scrum.
Look, I get it, but
what
that's...
What is that for?
I will tell you what it's for. It's for Odell making a moment about him. The moment LSU allowed Odell onto the sidelines, you expect him to do something stupid like that. You end up Monopoly money, and it's supposed to be a joke like, you guys are getting paid, but you're not really getting paid. It's stupid Odell. The problem is some of these players now, when they finally get their paycheck, are going to go buy fanny packs because Odell told them it was cool, and it's not going to be cool, and they're flushing money down a drain. It's a disgrace.
Christian Louboutin.
Right. Louis Button and Louis Vuitton. I was right.
I don't think it's Louis Button.
So Louboutin. So not a Louis. He got more mature. It's Louboutin.
Hey. Christian Louboutin.
Right. Now, don't you find that a little confusing in the fashion world that there's a Louis Vuitton and a Louboutin?
I can't believe out of everything you're focusing on the fanny pack.
Because it's just, we've been there with the fanny pack. We extinguished it.
Odell giving out money? Fake money.
I get. The money. Look, we get it. The money thing was a disgrace, but that is expected from Odell. He is now setting a different standard of fashion that's going to ruin these kids, and they're going to be buying $1,000 fanny packs, and they're going to be worth nothing, and that is how kids lose money. It's a lot of money! I'm telling you, he's wrecking people here.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS.
$5,000 a lot of money!
Headley tweets, if I was a millionaire, I could think of 1,000 different things to do with my money. Jeopardizing my alma mater, not one of them. Art Bobart tweets, DA, Mraz is right. Fanny packs are for unhip nerds. What's next for fashion? White New Balance, knee-high white socks, and cargo shorts make it a comeback? Well, if that's the case, Art Bobart, my dad is so fashionable.
Honestly, it would be like going to Petco or PetSmart and coming home with a pet dinosaur you walk around on a leash. Nobody's going to do that. They're not in anymore.
Not in? I don't think that's a possibility.
Well, because they're extinct, as were fanny packs. But if people recreated a fanny pack, you tell me we can't come up with a little Reptar on a leash?
Reptar. All right. When we come back here on the show, Gabe Karimi is going to join us. The former Outland Trophy winner, former first-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears on the NFL postseason. D.A., Mornings Aboard the Mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Damon Amendolara came up to me and said, do you mind if we go out together on your boat? I would love that. I love the water.
Doesn't strike me as an outdoorsman.
I turn around and I hear, oh, no.
Did he catch something?
Well, it looked like he caught something.
Yeah.
And I looked over and he did catch something.
What did he catch?
My engine is what he caught. I don't know what's going on here, but I think I've got the pole stuck on the prop. DA lost at sea.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The SSS Otis Miller tweets, getting a flat tire on your way to work is never fun. Getting to work from home and watching the DA show live more than makes up for it. You can watch as well at watchda.com. That's free. No sign up, no fee, no subscription, no cable provider needed. Just go to watchda.com And you can view the simulcast of the show every single day on any device.
Electronically ignorant.
Our next guest is a former first-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears. After a decorated career at the Wisconsin Badgers, he was the Outland Trophy winner. He was a unanimous All-American. He was the Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, first-team All-Big Ten as well, and now has launched a post-playing career into a healthy alternative to beef jerky. Joining us here on the show is Gabe Karimi. Gabe, good morning.
Hey, DA. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, my man. How you doing?
Oh, man, couldn't be better. Really couldn't be.
When you're watching the Tennessee Titans just do work in the playoffs and you're just seeing big old Derrick Henry run behind a bunch of big old offensive linemen, them shove it down defense's throats, do you hearken back to a simpler time, your years as an offensive lineman, certainly at Wisconsin, when you guys did the same thing?
Yeah, we kind of, set the standard in the NCAA for running the ball, for sure, and watching the Tennessee Titans, that's exactly what they're doing, and I think that's a different maker between them and the Texans, was they were able to lean on that run game and really command that, and get when they were ahead, they were able to stay ahead.
It is such a disheartening thing for defenses when they have a lead, when you have a lead, and you know that you've got to stand in front of a freight train like Derrick Henry, and it's cold, and it's miserable, and you got to do it. It just wears down these defenders. Do you see that as you're watching these games with the Titans unfold?
Yeah, I definitely do. But, I don't know if it's a little bit of luck on their side. They definitely had a really good field position, a particular part in the beginning of the football game. And I don't know if the luck's going to run out here coming, down here to Kansas City. But, I really am rooting for them. I love the story that's going behind these guys. I love the run game. And, I'm going to be rooting for them. I got some family down in Tennessee that I know they're very excited about seeing their Titans there.
What is it like from an offensive lineman standpoint to know that the game plan is we're just going to shove it down the opponent's throats running the football? I mean, when you were at Wisconsin, you had Monty Ball, and Wisconsin obviously for years has been this way. Run the football, we're just going to punish opponents. As an offensive lineman, I've heard people say, offensive linemen say, I love that. Did you love that?
Oh, yeah. When they didn't have an answer for it, when you were gaining 4-plus yards a game, you were like, why even throw the ball? And I remember a time at Michigan where we came out the second half and we ran the ball 100% of the time against Michigan. And even on 4th and 6, we were running the ball and still getting conversion rates on that. I mean, it was just an unbelievable, it was probably my favorite run game I've ever was able to be a part of, and with Coach Chris there. But yeah, we had Monty Ball, we had John Clay, we had James White. We just had a trio of running backs. And, my senior year, we came out, we were Monty Ball is 4 yards short from having 3 1,000-yard rushers. It was just, it really is something that, linemen don't get a lot of praise. You only see them when they do bad things. But when you can put yourself, hang your hat at the end of the game and see that, you had a really high rushing yards for your running back and you had low sacks for your quarterback, that's where you hang out as a unit. And you feel like, yeah, you accomplished something good that day.
Yeah, Gabe Karimi joining us this morning here on the show. That's the ground game is working when you run on 4th and 6. When you are deciding to run a 4th and 6, it is working. On the flip side, from the NFC standpoint, Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, they run the football a lot, and they ran the football really effectively last weekend against the Vikings, but they do so in really creative ways. There's some elements of the old Mike Shanahan, ways of running the football as well. What do you see in terms of the creativity of how the Niners get it done?
I mean, I think you have to. You can't just run the ball down the throat all the time. You have to be able to get some pinpulls in there. Pulling linemen is always a good way to do that. We did that a lot at Wisconsin. And, I mean, it's very unique, this offense they're setting up there. And that's fun to be a part of something that's creative like that. And you like both sides. You love watching it, obviously. So it's fun as an offensive lineman seeing all these great schemes being played.
How about coming back from down 24-0? The Kansas City Chiefs obviously find themselves down in a huge hole. And it was like that wasn't even that tough. They came back in a quarter to tie that up. Is it amazing for you to watch an offense like that be that prolific in that short amount of time?
It's really something else. And I don't, they want to talk about the going for it and, not pulling the team back out and kicking the field goal and obviously the botched faked punt. But I think those are both, in my opinion, I like and respect both those calls. So it is just crazy to let a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, that they are that potent on offense. It's just miraculous. And you just think of back and you just, man, can't believe that the Texans had such a firm grip on them and it just slipped out of it. And you're like, before you know it, they're right back in it and then winning the game by, you know, they were at 51. It was just crazy.
So you,
crazy ending.
You liked the decision by Bill O'Brien to go for it on fourth down to the fake punt.
I think it was the right one. It was a foot race. I think most times that play worked. It was a foot race between him and the linebacker, and he should have had, you know, a good chunk of field that I feel like he just should have been able to get it, and it just didn't work out. I don't know. So when you draw it up and you look up the play and you rewind it, that play works more times than not.
It's a tremendous tackle by Dan Sorensen in the open field to make sure that was held back and didn't get a first down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Obviously, when you don't have success, you question the call. But imagine he does have success there and he kills the Chief momentum to start swinging the other way. I mean, it would be huge.
Gabe Kiremi joins us this morning here on the show, standout offensive lineman at Wisconsin, former first-round pick of the Chicago Bears as well, and you have now delved into the snack game, and I had a chance to pick up a pack of Strive, and that is your brand, and it's kind of an alternative to beef jerky. What you don't realize is that if you eat beef jerky, there's actually a lot of sugar in beef jerky, and there's actually a lot of carbs in beef jerky. You think it's just protein, but there's not. There's other stuff in there. There's additives. And with Strive, you guys are doing something different, and this is because it's biltong, and a lot of people don't know what that is. So what exactly is biltong?
I started this company right when I retired. I got into active lifestyle. I was offensive lineman when I was playing, obviously. I was 330. I had dropped 70 pounds, and I cut out snacking basically completely because I'd started flipping over the label, which I never did beforehand. And I found biltong here, and what biltong is it just a different processing word. So there's jerky, prosciutto, you know, you can think of all these ways how to preserve meat. And biltong is South African, and it's air-dried versus cooked. So we take a top selection of top rounds, we coat it in vinegar, we air-dry it in a room about 70 degrees for about 7 to 10 days. It shrinks in weight and size, all the water is kind of taken out of it, and then you slice it thin, much like prosciutto, and you serve it. And it's an unbelievably healthy treat that has no sugar, about 50% more protein than jerky, and absolutely no nitrates. Whereas jerky will claim no nitrates, they will use celery salt, and that is exactly a nitrate that, unless you're planning 1,000 celery sticks, you're eating nitrates. We don't have any nitrates in our product.
You know, when you taste your stuff, I never had biltong before, it definitely tastes different. It feels more unprocessed. It just tastes like you're actually eating meat versus eating some type of compound of meat with a lot of flavor in there. Did you have to get used to that different flavor, or did you kind of pick up on it and enjoy it right off the bat?
I think anyone that picks up a bag of biltong is going to immediately tell the difference that this is not jerky. We get a similarity, like this is like our home. This is like what we make when we jerky our own, when people, hunters, will come out, and we're big in the hunting community. They say, this tastes just like the jerky I make. I'm like, well, first off, there's no nitrates that you're covering up. So that's why it tastes like that. And, yeah, it tastes exactly like me. I mean, D.A., you're a big foodie. I've seen a couple of your Nomad cast. So you understand, like, there's a big taste component to this. You're tasting what it should taste like. It should taste like meat when you're eating a bag of steak.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I think when you open up a package of something that looks like beef jerky, you assume that it's going to taste a certain way. And then I tasted what you guys had. I said, boy, this is nothing like I expected, but I really like it because it doesn't feel like I'm eating something that's flavored. And when I think about beef jerky, which I like, I'm thinking about, oh, you know what? I'm just eating or tasting whatever their chemical compound is for the flavor. I'm not actually tasting the meat there. And when I taste you guys and the Strive and the biltong, it actually tastes like, as you said, meat, which I think is a really good differentiator for you.
Yeah, we're basically just meat, vinegar, and spice in a bag. And that's exactly what you're tasting when you get there. And that's why we're actually getting a lot of people that were typically not jerky lovers are coming over. So we're very high skew with women, actually, because they don't like the tough pieces. Because when you open a bag of jerky, you know, you got the, you know, pretty good pieces, and you got the tough, unbearable ones, and you got the dust at the bottom of the bag. our bags, we slice after it's produced, so the pieces are all very tender. So you, when you bite into a piece of biltong, it's a much more tender than a cooked, hard piece of jerky.
Is it great to be a taste tester in Strive? I mean, knowing you just get to eat as much as you want, like on the assembly line, I got to think that that's a pretty amazing job.
Yeah, I might be the official tester for our company. that and my partner, Joe. Joe has a very specific taste. And, you know, I have eaten easily over 3 pounds of biltong in a day testing this stuff out. And just to let you know, for every 1 pound of biltong makes a half a pound. Or so it makes 2 pounds. So 2 pounds would go to 1 pound. So I ate 6 pounds of meat in one day. I'm not suggesting anyone do that. I at least work out where I sweat enough where that sodium doesn't bother me at all. But I wish I had this protein, because even when I was playing in the NFL, I was a very health-conscious lineman. I had a very low body comp for me being an offensive lineman. And I would struggle eating enough chicken breast in the day to get I need to get 400 grams of protein in, which if anyone's truly counting how much it is ridiculously hard when you're eating chicken and trying to stay away from protein shakes. They actually get real good sources of protein, that it is extremely hard. And I would basically eat to myself to where I would want to throw up. Oh. And if I had this product when I was playing, I could have easily got my protein content in for the day. And not only this, but this is like something that we could never put on our packaging, but our protein is never denatured because it's not cooked, right? So you don't have breakdowns of the protein. So you're actually able to absorb more protein with biltong.
Hmm. Wow, that's interesting. Gabe Karimi is the founder of Strive Biltong Snacks, Strive. I know you can go to the website and find out more information and shop your products. Where else can our listeners get Strive products?
So we're on Amazon, like any company nowadays. You know, Amazon's such a big player. We're at Walmart, CVS, Sprouts, 7-Elevens, Casey's. We're in a lot of areas. You could always go onto our website and look at where we are locally. It'll have a store locator, but also Amazon and our web store are great places to find our product.
We've got our producer, Sean, who you spoke to over the phone before you came on, and he eats a lot. He really likes to eat copious amounts of food. I think we will have a Strive challenge, and we will feed him 3 pounds of Strive and see if he can make it through the day like you did.
You give me his address. I will send it. I will send you 3 pounds of, and maybe we have, because I really like our sticks. So we have two products. We have our sliced biltong, but we also have our stick that dry in with 4 days or more, kind of like a sausage that dries. It's very made similar, but you put it in a casing instead.
Yep.
And I ate 3 pounds of, because I really like our sausage and or our biltong sticks. And they're, the South Africans call them a drover, but we are teaching Americans biltong, so we just kind of kept the biltong stick.
Yeah.
Instead of drovers, because it has this little weird two dots over the O.
Okay.
And we're already like, okay, Americans, let's just get them on the word biltong as an air-dried product, and hopefully they can kind of continue over like this. It's a stick version of it. I ate 3 pounds of that. The hatch green chili that we make, we use real hatch green chilies from Arizona, and it's only one specific valley that you can buy hatch green chilies, and the flavor just pops like no one's business. I ate 3 pounds of that one day.
That's amazing. I had one of the biltong sticks yesterday driving home. It was the original, but now I want to try the hatch green. So, yeah, we're going to watch Sean eat 6 pounds of your biltong on the show. Gabe Karimi.
Record it. We'll post it up there. You give me the address after this. We'll send it. I'd love to see that.
All right.
I'll challenge him with it. We could do it maybe a live video feed. We'll see who can
finish
it first.
I like this idea. I'm going to put you on hold, and Sean will give you the information, okay?
Sounds good.
Gabe Karimi joining us this morning here on the show. Good stuff. Former Outland Trophy winner at the Wisconsin Badgers football program. And now is turned to a life of biltong, air-dried beef snacks.
And shouting out Nomad videos.
Yeah, how about that? So what do we think? Do you think Mraz can eat 6 pounds of beef?
Are you nuts? I just need to hang up the phone with Gabe. Are you nuts? You can't rent me out like I'm a bounce house at some kid's birthday party.
Yes, we can.
6 pounds of meat? I got a daughter at home I got to take care of. You trying to drive me into the ground?
How is your chase for losing 100 pounds before her first birthday going?
I was up 13, now I'm down another 2, so I'm plus 111.
Plus?
Wait, what?
Yeah, well, because you've got to lose 100.
I got to lose 100, so I'm 11 pounds heavier than the moment I said I was going to lose 100. But I was 13.
So you've only got to lose 111 pounds over the next 11 months.
And now you got me stuffing 6 pounds of meat that's been sitting at room temperature for 6 hours. With all due respect, I'm sure the Strive products are great, and I would try them. But that much meat? You can't just... Now the guy's ready to run a video stream with me. Come on, have a talk things out with me here. And now all of a sudden I'm Sean. You don't want to call me for 7 years Sean. Now I'm Sean when you need me to eat 17 pounds of food that looks like prosciutto, but it's really celery sticks or something.
You got that all wrong. I just didn't want to call you Mraz because you introduced yourself to him over the phone, I'm sure, as Sean.
Yeah, that's true.
If I would have said, you just talked to Mraz, he'd be like, well, who is that?
Well, I said, this is DA's sidekick, Sean. How are you?
I'm CBS Sports Personality.
But, I mean, really, you're treating me like I'm a petting zoo. Right? You just roll up at any kid's birthday party. I know he's good to go. Here comes Sean. All right, whatever we need him to do. Oh, the juggler, put him in the dunk tank. Oh, we need him to eat 6 pounds of fried sticks that have shrunken down at 70 degrees.
This is just dawning on you now?
No, because usually it's a, hey, would you do this? You know, we talk
it
through.
How do you think we got this far?
Right.
We've been promoted 4 times.
Right,
radio
we got
personality.
This.
It ain't a mistake.
We got this far with you going, Mraz, would you do this? It takes me a couple seconds. Ultimately, I say yes. Times have changed.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
Whoa.
I'm a father. I got a heart disease to worry about.
Oh, that's what has changed.
Yes.
Oh, I thought what has changed is that now you're CBS Sports Personality, a.k.a. Sidekick.
CBS Sports Radio Personality. I am. That being said, that doesn't mean I wouldn't do something for the good of the show. What it means is just run something by me. The guy's setting up video equipment now, Gabe Creamy is. He might FedEx overnight this. What am I supposed to do with that?
I'm not good with time, Sean. When you drank that like scummy coffee machine dispensed water.
I got paid $1,000 at a Boomer Esiason's.
Was your wife pregnant then?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
No. But look. What's going to happen is now I'm going to have to pay it off for the good of the show, and that's not right to me. I'm going to have to go home, explain that to my wife, who was already unhappy yesterday when she saw the pictures of the ham sandwich saying she packed me lunch, packed me breakfast. I had to talk my way out of that. She got me saying after the Super Bowl I'm going through a boot camp for a month. I mean, now I'm going to be eating sticks.
We ate Death by Salsa, both Bogus and I.
You lost the woman's bracket. What did I lose here other than you calling me out live on the air to Gabe Creamy?
What changed? I want to know what changed.
Oh, we know what changed.
What changed?
Big time.
Oh, no. I'm a dad. I'm a dad now. I'm a dad.
It is. I got to look at my sweet daughter's face and just burp up prosciutto like meat and go, this is how daddy makes his paycheck?
I mean, yeah.
You want your party of Chuck E. Cheese when you're 5? I got to keep eating 6 pounds of beef jerky?
What do you think she is going to think you do?
I get a come and I have hard takes about Eli Manning and we have good times.
You know, it's going to be amazing when Taylor grows up and is old enough to watch YouTube and watch all of these stunts that Mraz has pulled off over his 70-year career.
But at least he'll be skinny by then.
Falling forward, succeeding throughout his entire career simply because you have been willing to be the show pony. And now suddenly a line drawn in the sand, I can't be the show pony anymore. Things have changed.
I don't mean I can't be the show pony, but there comes a certain poundage we have to get to of meat that I can have. That's all I'm saying.
Mraz showed up to last year's corporate Christmas party shirtless, sliding down an inflatable slide.
Showed up. He didn't leave his Santa suit behind like something I did this year. He showed up and thought, it'd be a good idea if I took my shirt off right now.
Not for the show. Not for the show. Just because that was his normal introduction. He's like, this is a good idea. It's a corporate party. I'll be shirtless sliding down a slide at a sports bar.
But you know what? It worked because the bosses know his name, and they would walk over my body to get to the elevator still.
Anytime you could slap meats on top of meats.
His career arc is extraordinary within this company. They keep giving him promotions, more money, and more jobs. And now he's like, well, things have changed, okay? You won't see me shirtless at any corporate outings anymore.
My wife has asked me to keep my shirt on. I will still go above and beyond for the DA show. All I'm saying is run it by me before you volunteer me to eat 3 pounds of meat. That's all I'm saying.
Sorry, I thought the shirtless guy at the corporate Christmas party would be the guy that would eat beef jerky.
I guess. So what amount of meat would you want to eat?
I don't know. It just depends on the day. But now I'm going to have to follow through because we have web streams getting set up here. It's good corporate dynamic. Chubby person.
Andrew Bogus has your headlines. Good morning,
they are Good morning. They're sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. Then in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The punishment was going to be harsh. It was going to make it impossible, nearly, for Alex Cora to resume managing the Red Sox. So the team decided not to wait on Major League Baseball. The Sox and Cora announcing a mutual divorce last night, but it's safe to assume Cora was fired. MLB holding off on punishing him for his role in the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Well, that determines if Cora oversaw cheating in Boston in 2018. All this means that Carlos Beltran is the only man mentioned in MLB's report that is still employed. The new Mets manager was a player back in Houston in 2017. In normal baseball news, Josh Donaldson signs with the Twins, 4 years and $92 million. Luke Kuechly is retiring at just 28 years old. The Panthers linebacker is a seven-time Pro Bowler. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame unveiling the rest of that centennial class this morning. So far, we know headed to Canton, NFL Films head Steve Sable and Eagles wide receiver Harold Carmichael, among some of the early names called out right now on NFL Network. D.A.?
Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, I want to talk about those centennial class inductees and whether I agree with them or not. Jonathan tweets in, D.A., I've got a taco eating contest this week, and how much would it cost to rent Mraz out for 50 tacos? This is the Morning Mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm never going to come on the King DA show and correct him. So I was just going to handle that myself and kind of move on quickly because I respect you too much, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, King. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Thanks so much for being with us. The DA Show full episodes are available in podcast form, DA On Demand. If with the new time change, you can't catch the full DA Show anymore, that's okay, because we got full episodes available at CBSSportsRadio.com. That's our website, also on Apple Music, radio.com, and other places podcasts are downloaded. Dixie Landan tweets, DA, what if we changed it from beef to chicken pesto? How much of that could we get Mraz to shove down his gullet? Hashtag GeoVoice. And now we're going to see just how much time it takes to drown Mraz. If Mraz could eat 60 chicken nugs, he should be able to eat 6 pounds of dried beef easy. I would tend to agree with that. Pro Football Hall of Fame is having a centennial class. They are adding a number of names, not part of the normal class. And I think that this is supposed to basically break the deadlock on some guys that have been passed over that would not get in now because there's too many quality candidates to go in. When you have classes of modern guys that have to get in, recent years, Tony Gonzalez, Ed Reed, Peyton Manning coming up, you just know that those guys have to be in. It's hard to get in some of the old guys that have been passed over. So now we have a couple of names. Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson were announced over the weekend. You saw that on both those pregame shows and halftime shows. Emotional for both Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson. And now we have a couple of other names. Jim Covert, a.k.a. Jimbo Covert, offensive lineman for the Bears of the 80s. Winston Hill, offensive lineman for the Jets in the Joe Namath and Super Bowl years. Harold Carmichael, longtime wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, the greatest wide receiver in franchise history. Duke Slater, an offensive lineman back in the 20s that was the first African-American lineman in the NFL. A defensive end for the 40s and 50s Chicago Bears, Monsters of the Midway, Ed Sprinkle. And Steve Sable of NFL Films, the late Steve Sable. Look, I am not one to say any of these guys don't deserve honoring because they all do in their own way. And I think that this is a cool idea to have a centennial special class of guys that might have been passed over that now there's no room to get them in to a modern class. But I do think there's an element here of, okay, great, but not quite historically great enough to have gotten in with the normal process. And that feels to me to be a little weird. It feels to me like these are market corrections, if you will. And maybe that's okay. But for some of these guys, it does feel like, okay, you were really good, not quite Hall of Fame worthy in the traditional sense, but because we have this extra class of 10, we can get a few guys in. I want to talk more about this coming up at the top of the hour. Plus, whether the Mets have to fire Carlos Beltran now. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.